Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today, and hope you're doing well. Hope you are enjoying your summer. I know one of the things that I'm doing, which has been really something I've enjoyed, is playing golf. And I always enjoy watching baseball, but there's not a whole lot of baseball to watch right now because there's just nothing happening. But it looks like it's going to get started. Looks like there's going to be a 60-game season starting in July, and I'm not sure exactly how much that's going to look like baseball. There's so many changes. There is going to be extra innings. If there is extra innings, there's going to start out with a runner on second base. There could be possibilities of ties in baseball. Some players probably are not going to show up because of the coronavirus, and it's just crazy. It's just going to be one of those really, really unique things. And we have with us today a guy who's affected by that. His name is Kyle Gibson, and for the last few years, he has been a pitcher with the Minnesota Twins. He's done very well. He came up in 2013. He's been one of the key players, and this year, he is scheduled to be a part of the Texas Rangers, but he will probably not report, probably will not play in this 60-game season because he has what is called ulcerative colitis. So he probably will not be able to play. But it's just something that we hope everything changes, although we may not go back to a normal. But let's hope that when we get back to spring training back in 2021, that things will be somewhat normal. I'll tell you the truth, I can't even keep up with what's going on as far as the negotiations. It's been really very bitter, quite honestly, between the players and the owners. So who knows what's going to happen. But the great thing is, with face-to-face, we have a chance to stay in contact with a lot of these players, particularly baseball players. And we've had a chance to encourage them and in some cases, talk to them by text and by over the phone. And I know many of them, if not probably most of them, are sitting around saying, we just don't know what's going to happen. But we know that particularly the Christian ball players say that we know that God is in it and God will direct us. So this is an interview that we did a few years ago with Kyle Gibson. And just wanted to let you hear it so that you could hear what his Christian testimony is all about. And I think you'll enjoy it. So we'll take a break. And when we come back, you'll hear the interview that we did with Kyle Gibson, now with the Texas Rangers. We'll take a break and be back. You are listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome back. Face to Face again today, and today we're talking baseball with Kyle Gibson, pitcher for the Minnesota Twins, 6'6", 215-pound right-handed starter. Kyle, thanks for being on Face to Face.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You were a first-round draft pick of the Twins in 2009 out of Greenfield, Indiana. Does that put a little more pressure on you, you think, when you know you're the first-round pick?
You know what I've always said is, you know, for me, I've probably got the loftiest expectations, you know, for myself than anybody else does. So, you know, I expect that, you know, I want to be as good as I possibly can be and compete at the highest level. So any expectations anybody else has for me are probably going to come up short of mine. So, you know, I try not to put too much pressure on myself in that situation. But, you know, I also understand that you know, if I go out there and work hard and do the things the right way, sometimes it's going to work out, sometimes it doesn't. So that's where the faith aspect comes in. Trust that God's got a plan and go out there and do what he's put me here to do.
You come from Indiana, Greenfield, Indiana, outside of Indianapolis, but you ended up at the University of Missouri, which is kind of unique. I would imagine there aren't a lot of players at Missouri from Indiana.
No, there's not. I mean, I think you know, Missouri got in really late in the recruiting process on me, and I'm just very blessed that they did. I mean, it was a fun place. I met my wife there our freshman year through her roommate who was from Indiana. So, you know, it was a very lucky situation for me, and I'm glad it worked out the way it did.
Tell me about baseball at Missouri. Obviously, a pretty good conference, and you had, of course, some good stats there and did really well. But tell me about your experience as you look back on your time at Missouri.
Well, now they're in the SEC, which is a drastically different conference in baseball. Both the SEC and the Big 12 have their advantages, but when I was in the Big 12, we were a very pitchers heavy conference, and there's a little bit bigger ballparks, and the defense is pretty important. And that was one thing in Missouri that we really focused on, was playing good defense. And Coach Jameson had us playing the game the right way, and Coach Vitello, who was our pitching coach, was really big on the mental side of the game. So we really worked on that in the offseason as well. And I think we had a very much professional baseball style approach, where we went after contact, we went try to get ahead of hitters with our fastball. And I think back in a few years ago, when they still had the metal bats that were really live and not the BB core, that really wasn't the strategy. You really didn't want the hitter to hit it, because of the fact that just one bad swing with a metal bat could give up a couple runs. But Coach Vitello was very big on pound the strike zone, get ahead, and it was very much an easy transition for me when I got to pro ball against wood bats.
Coming out of Greenfield, Indiana, is that where you were? Greenfield High School. High School. Tell me about baseball up there, and did you have I know there haven't been a lot of major league players that come out of Indiana, but you apparently stood out from among the rest.
I was very lucky. I had when my dad coached me basically up until high school my entire life, and the high school coach that I had, who's actually going to be here tonight, was just a great coach, and he knew exactly how to work with all different kinds of players. And for me, he challenged me a lot, and allowed me to get better while also having fun around the guys that I was with. We had some good players come out of that high school the last couple years, and they've had a couple here recently come out that have been pretty good. But Indiana as a whole has gotten a lot better. Central Indiana actually has a lot of guys in the big leagues right now, so it's pretty cool to see everybody doing well.
2006, the Phillies selected you out of high school. You had the opportunity to go in and play minor league ball and not go to college. Was it a tough decision for you to make?
Yeah, it was very tough. And I actually didn't make it until 2 days before I needed to be at Missouri to report for school. Back then the draft rules were a little bit different, where you had up until the middle of August to decide. Now it's like the beginning of July. It was one of those things where it came down to it. We were on a family vacation 3 days before I needed to be at school, and I was talking to Missouri one day and the Phillies the next day. And my dad and mom basically said, "Hey, it's your decision, and we're behind you." Right at the last hour, I just kind of said, "You know what, Mom? Let's go shopping for school. I'm going to Missouri." And physically, I was 6'3", 160, 165 pounds, and just I didn't think I was physically ready for that day-to-day grind. So I really liked what Missouri said that they had to offer, and thankfully I went there and gained 45 pounds and came out 3 years later.
The Twins, you're with the Twins. Tell me about the Twins organization, and of course you got brand new field, pretty new field at Target Field, and I've never been there, but I hear it's a great place to play. Tell me about being in the Twins organization.
Yeah, I didn't know too much about the Twins organization before they drafted me, and then the more people that I talked to, and Mike Ruth and J.R. DiMercurio, the scout that signed me, the more I talked to them, I was pretty excited, and the more I met Bill Smith and Terry Ryan and everybody involved with the Twins, there's a lot to like. They really like developing their players and calling up from within and promoting from within, and they've developed a lot of good pitchers over the last few years. And,
yeah,
it was very exciting for me to find out all that information, and then to go through the minor leagues and experience it. Experience the quality of coaches that they have, the quality coaching staffs that they put together to get their players to get better and to develop. A lot of good things about the Twins, and Target Field is a great place to play. It's one of my I don't want to be too biased, but it's one of my favorite parks in the big leagues. And it just offers a unique setting right there. All the fans are right on top of you. The stands go up instead of out, and you're surrounded by people, and it's pretty cool.
And you got Paul Molitor for a manager, whose faith has also been talked about very much. Tell me about playing for Paul Molitor.
Yeah, when the Twins hired Paul Molitor, I think everybody was pretty excited. No offense to Gardy or Andy or the previous coaching staff, because they'll still have a pretty special place in my career, being my first manager and first pitching coach. But everybody knew Molly, and as soon as you know that you're playing for him, his playing career demands respect. So everybody respected him from the get-go, and then from there, there, it's just, you know, figuring out, okay, you know, how is he going to, you know, how are we going to adapt to this? How are we going to adapt to that? And, you know, both sides had to do that a little bit. You know, it's a lot of fun, and he's a great leader, a great man of God who cares deeply about, you know, the players and their well-being, and it's a lot of fun to play for him.
And this, as we said here today, is an anniversary. I looked it up 2 years ago today, June the 29th. You made your major league debut. I don't even know if you knew that.
I didn't even realize today was the 29th. Yeah, 2 years ago. Wow, that's incredible.
Tell me, it was against Kansas City. What do you remember about that game?
Everything, really. That day was a lot of fun, and something that I'll never forget. I got the call 4 days or 5 days before, and got to hang around a little bit and get comfortable to my surroundings. But that day was really special. I had probably 60 or 65 friends and family there, and I was in front of a home crowd at Target Field, and against the Royals team, who for the last years while I was in college, that's all I heard about them and the Cardinals. And so it was pretty cool to get to go out there and live my dream and realize that I've made it to that stage and got to work hard to stay there. But it was a lot of fun. Threw the first pitch and thankfully Gordon hit it to the track and not over the fence. But I almost gave up a first pitch homer. But that day was an awful lot of fun.
Our guest is Kyle Gibson of the Minnesota Twins. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll talk more about Kyle and his faith. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Kyle Gibson of the Minnesota Twins, and kind of a fellow Hoosier, and happy to be able to talk to him today. Kyle, it took you a little while to get to the majors, slowed down a little bit. You got off to a fast start, and then you were slowed down a little bit by Tommy John surgery. That had to be tough. 2011, that had to kind of work on you mentally.
It was tough. In 2003, I actually had an elbow surgery as a freshman in high school. I fractured a growth plate in my elbow, and at that point, that was probably one of the hardest moments of my life, because I was a freshman and I was almost ready to play some varsity, and I pitched one of the first games of the year for the JV team, and the next 5 days my elbow just killed me, and I made a play at shortstop, boom, and felt the elbow pop, and because of that story, one, I became a Christian and decided to actually follow Christ. That summer I went to a youth camp, and it was the best summer of my life. For the first time I got to actually dive into my faith and figure out what it meant to follow Christ, and it was only because I didn't have baseball distracting me from that where I actually had a chance to really give that a try and think about the impact that's going to have on my life. But because of that surgery, I'm not going to say Tommy John was easier, but it was more manageable. Not only was I married with a dog, and my family had just kind of started, but I had Christ leading the way, and I'd already been through a surgery, so for me it was okay. Hey, I've done this before. Let's do it again. And 100% freshman year surgery and following Christ, set me up for being able to come back from Tommy John.
Yeah, baseball can be dominating. It can take every ounce of energy and your emotions that you've got. And now you're in the starting rotation for the Minnesota Twins. But I saw on your Twitter feed that you said that you love life, God, family, wife, and job. How tough is it to keep all of that straight and keep it all in focus?
I don't want it to make it sound simple, because it's not simple. But when you keep it in that order, it becomes a whole lot simpler. And I'm blessed to be married to a woman who loves the Lord and who understands that our relationship with Christ is more important than each other even. And by focusing on that, we're able to not have a perfect marriage, because we don't have a perfect marriage, but we're able to have a passionate marriage that both of us can follow Christ and have community efforts and serve the Lord together, hopefully creating that example for our kids. And by having those two things in order, it makes things a whole lot easier. And it really, at the end of the day, if we're both keeping the Lord first and we're trying to follow His will in our life, then for the most part, any minor argument between us is going to be pretty easily solved. So like I said, it's a day-to-day effort. and it's, you know, the world doesn't make it easy on you. But if I'm focusing on that and I'm allowing my teammates around me to keep me sharp and to keep me focused, then those things surrounding it can become a lot easier.
I don't want to say how tough, because it was a good decision. But what was your life like before you accepted Jesus Christ?
My identity was found in baseball 100%. And if I was 0-4 or 4-4, that's kind of how the next 24 hours went. And I played a lot of baseball as a kid. When I was 12, when I was 8, my dad started the travel baseball team that I played on. And by the time we were 12, we were playing 120 games a summer, and it was awesome. And I loved every minute of it.
Every day.
Every minute of it. It was great. We started in March and ended in October, and it was awesome. But, by all means, my identity was found on the baseball field. And, there were times where I just remember, going home after 0-4 and just being completely heartbroken. And, when I'm 15, I have an elbow surgery and actually make that decision to go to a youth camp and give it a chance. And, I leave there and, for the next, it's been 12 years now. For the next 12 years, it's been, completely different. I mean, not that baseball is any less important, because it's not. But I realize that, at the end of the day, if I go one inning or if I go nine innings, I've got to move on. And I've got bigger things going on in my life, and yes, they are more important. But God also has put me here to play baseball. But I got to realize that He is the blesser, and my blessing is to be able to play this game. And by all means, the blessing is not more important than the blesser itself. So that's one way that I keep it in perspective. Good or bad, I walk off the field, and I've got my wife and family to go back to, and that's God staring me right back in the face.
What specific spiritual pressures does being at this level, being at the major league level, bring?
I think there's a few. I mean, it's really easy to get wrapped up and comparing yourselves to other players. That's one thing that I was really convicted about this offseason when I went to the PAO conference that they have for us, Professional Athletes Outreach. And, it was a blessing for my wife to get to go to, but we're sitting there listening to David Platt speak, and he's saying how sorry he feels for us. And we're like, what are you talking about? And he said, your whole life is lived by comparing yourself to one another. That's how your whole job field works. And I think about it, and I was completely guilty of that. And instead of being excited and happy for the people around me having success, there were times where I'm like, basically comparing myself, trying to figure out how I stack up against them. And it kept me from being the best player I could be. There's comparing yourself. There's, being on the road away from your family with all the temptations that go on with that. It's easy to become prideful and allow things to become about me, rather than having them be about God and who put me here. So there's multiple ones that if you don't have people around you on the road and you don't have a good base, it's easy to fall into the wrong traps.
I would say also, I know baseball, you talk about the PAO conference, and I've heard a number of players that go to that. Baseball is highly competitive, of course, but there's also a brotherhood. Are there other guys in baseball that either are on your team or that you've played against that you're pretty close to?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them, really. Anybody in that clubhouse, for the most part, I'm pretty close with. You're not going to agree with everybody on everything, but it's real easy to get behind your teammates. And when everybody has the right motives, it's pretty cool. And even when you're competing for, the guys in the starting rotation in spring training, when I'm competing with those guys, I want them to do the best they can, and I want to do the best I can. So, make that decision as tough as possible in the front office. But I think that's one thing that PAO really does is, it brings you together with, 150, 200 other ball players, and no matter if you're in the minor leagues, the big leagues, the Reds organization, the Twins organization, for 4 days there, you're brothers in Christ, and you get to meet everybody. And during the season, you see them and you say, hey, I met you at PAO and got to talk to you a little bit, or we were in the same small group, and before you know it, you develop pretty good friendships with the guys that you're playing against.
You're also in a situation right now where the Twins are battling for a pennant, and sometimes I know you get, we're kind of here heading towards the middle of the season, and there are some teams, of course, that are 12, 15 games out, but this has got to be a lot of fun that the Twins, you're one of the key guys now as the Twins shoot for this, shoot for a pennant.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I think that was the one thing coming into this year. Everybody in that clubhouse, everybody in the front office and in the organization was tired of losing. And I'd only been here for part of 13 and 14, but that was enough for me, and I think that was enough for some of the veterans who have been there for a couple years now. And, you know, it's not like we flipped a switch or anything, but, you know, I think this year's been a big change for the fan base, for the front office, and for us. And we still have a lot of work to do. You know, we're kind of been struggling here the last month or so, but we're really confident in what we're doing, and we're confident in our approach. And you know, being in a race and being 5, 6, 7 games over 500 constantly has been really good for the fan base and really good for this organization. So we're excited for the things to come.
You get to play in a lot of parks. Target Field, of course, is your home field, and that's one you like. But outside of Target Field, what's one of your favorite parks?
I'd probably go with two of them. I just played in Busch Stadium for the first time there in St. Louis. I was able to play in it in college, but never really got the full experience of having 40,000 people there. So that was really special. I had a lot of my wife's family there who got to see me pitch in person for the first time. And then the other one is Comerica Park in Detroit. That experience and that atmosphere is just a lot of fun. You know, of course, they've been good for many, many years now, but a fan base really knows baseball, and, you know, they pack it in there. And there was nothing like, I think, you know, my favorite start of my career so far probably is, or one of them is, the last game of the year last year when they're, you know, battling Kansas City for the division title. And, you know, that game kind of make or break their season to win that division. And unfortunately they were able to beat us, I think 3-2 or 2-1 or something, but that place was rocking. And, you know, that's a lot of fun when you get 40,000 people, even when they're cheering against you. That was a pretty cool atmosphere.
Kyle, I want to thank you so much for spending time with us, and I know there's a lot of people out there that are going to be encouraged by your testimony and by as they watch you pitch. Do you have a favorite verse or anything that kind of sticks in your mind?
You know, I've got a couple. You know, one is the one that I signed with my autograph, and it's Ephesians 2:8-10, and I think it just really embodies kind of, you know, what I'm here to do, and it talks about how you know, faith is not of us and it's not of our works, it's just a gift from God. And it goes on at the end in verse 10 to talk about how we're God's handiwork, created by him to do the good works that he set out in advance for us to do. So for me, that really hits home, because not only do I feel like I've been put here to play this game, but, you know, I feel like he's, you know, picked me to be a follower of him and to be a light for him.
Kyle, thanks again for spending time with us. Good luck to you, and I hope we can meet again somewhere.
All right, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, Kyle Gibson of the Minnesota Twins. We will take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with Kyle Gibson, and we certainly did. There's just been so many interviews over the years where I've sat in dugouts or clubhouses or in some cases even in the homes of some of these players, and we've had a chance to talk some baseball or whatever sport we're talking about. We haven't had many interviews live lately because you just can't get to these guys, and with this virus, it's been really tough. But we're glad that we're able to continue to bring you face-to-face in this particular way. Now, this is kind of a milestone for us. May not be something that affects too many people, but this is our final show that we will do on radio. We've been on radio since 1992, so that's a long time. And we have now decided that we're going to go strictly to our website. So if you're listening to this on our website, it probably won't change anything. We are at face2faceradio.com. But if you're listening to us on the radio from now on, you'll be able to only access us through our website, which is at face2faceradio.com. And we will continue to have interviews up there, although they might not be quite as frequent. But we will continue to have a number of interviews and other things, and we hope that you will check that out. And if you've been listening to us for many, many years on the radio, we thank you for your loyalty. And just like everything else, there comes a time when there need to be some changes made, so that's why we've gone to our website. But we still have the same mission. We still want to bring to you the positive testimony of Christian athletes, whether they be baseball, football, basketball, golf, whatever. And not just the athletes, but the people who are behind the scenes, the administrators and so on. You can continue to hear that. And you can hear that, of course, right here on our website at face2faceradio.com. We hope that you'll continue to do that. Well, as we close today,
I want to go to the Psalms again. I spend a lot of time in the Psalms. I want to go to the Psalms today. Psalm 118:24, one of my favorite Psalms, right there in the very middle of the Bible. Psalm 118:24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, no matter what's going on, and it's just been a very uncertain time, as you well know, here in our country. But we can always rejoice in the fact that when we get up every morning, God is with us and he will guide us through the day, and he will take us through these uncertain times. Hopefully we will get back to somewhat normal here before long, but God is always with us and he never forsakes us, and we hope that that he's blessed you in so many ways.
That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Russ. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana, 47202. You can also find us on the web at face2faceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.